Welcome to Sunday Service with Dr. Paula Price. Take a seat, open up your Bible, and prepare to enjoy an evening of praise, worship, revelation, and insight as Dr. Price releases pearls of wisdom from the throne of God.
Tonight's praise and worship is brought to you by Tony Mason. Find out more about his ministry at www.tonymasonmusic1.com. That's www.tonymasonmusic1.com.
Ambassador, and I represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and I pledge allegiance to your throne. I made your kingdom my own, for I'm your ambassador.
Come on, all ambassadors, just lift your hands with me real quick. Come on.
Say, I'm your ambassador.
Come on.
I represent the King of all kings and the Lord of lords, and I pledge allegiance to your throne. I'll make your kingdom my home. Yes, I'm your ambassador of your kingdom.
I'm your ambassador.
I represent the Most High God. I've been called and appointed to go and represent the kingdom of God's kingdom.
Premise of what we're doing is that we are learning to put God to work in our seminars and all of our things that we've been going through, and we've been going through a lot of things over the last couple of weeks. We have found out that God wants us to not just lean on Him. How many of you know sometimes we just want to lean on the Lord? God said, I don't want to be your lean post. I want to be your partner, and I want to be your guide. And so God wants us to start using it. I gave you that because I told you how I raised my children. And, you know, my children, God bless them, when you raise kids in a godly house, they only know God. They don't know that God is not in everybody's house like that. Some of you all don't realize that if you raise your child to know God in the house, then you guess what? He will be in that house. Hey, this works. I realized in reading the Bible that little ones start little. You know, Samuel, Moses, Daniel, they all started little. They didn't wait till they like old and all the gangs got to them and folk done, you know, trained them and groomed them. They started little. And so when they started little, I would say, you know, my daughter got saved at four, saved and baptized in the Holy Ghost at four. I mean, that was prime bait. The Holy Ghost was so thrilled, he just had the whole church just praise him. He was like, man, I got me one real little. And so, you know, we went to church where they thought the kid could be baptized in the Holy Ghost at two. So she was 2 years late. And so when she started growing and going to school, I kept saying, but you know, if Jesus is in you and Jesus knows everything, guess what you know? Everything. That's all. Not you have to reach out and go to, you know, Alpha Abba Land and get it, but just remember that God is in you. She had her CDs and, you know, all of that stuff. I didn't know what I was grooming at the time, but I'm glad that I groomed it because I could have been missing out on some of the great treasures God has. And so I kept telling her, so she'd go to school, she'd try to do a test and study. I can't figure it out. Yes, you can, because you just need to get it from here to here. See, you make Jesus hard for kids. Jesus is not hard for children. You make him hard for kids because you find him hard. Jesus is as hard for your kid as he is for you. And so I would tell her, it's in you. Kids don't know anything but what you tell them. And no matter what you say to a child, if life is as hard as you define it. Life is as hard for a kid as you define it. I want you to remember that, because some of you all have young children and you're terrifying them. The easier you make it, the quicker they grasp it, because they don't know any different. You know, a child in an abused house does not know that that's not how life should be until they get out the house. Or somebody comes in and say, you know, that's not how life should go. The kid says, this is my life. This is my house. Well, my mother's always this way. And so as you go on and grow up and you begin to let your child know that Jesus is great on the inside and there's all kinds of power at work in them, they will do it. And guess what? They will not just look for Superman. See, they'll start looking for Super Jesus. You know, and so we did that. So she would go and do it. She'd come and say, I got a problem. I don't know how to do it. I said, you ask God? Yep. What he said, he didn't answer. Then don't come back till he does. because she's a prophet. He should talk to her. Your child is filled with the Spirit of God. He should talk. See, sometimes it doesn't matter what he says. It's that he's getting them accustomed to him saying to them directly. See, that's the number one issue, that he's getting them accustomed to saying to them directly. And I wanted God to have a direct relationship with my children, and I wanted my children to have a direct line to the Holy Ghost. And I didn't want them to think it was out of this world. I wanted it to be commonplace. I wanted them to appreciate and know the voice of God as well as they knew mine. I fostered that in my house. I knew when to step back from parenting and when to step in. See, you yourself set the tone for how your children grow up and establish and remain rooted and grounded in God. And not like using them as punishment. Some of you all lost the kids lost God because you use God as a whipping stick. If you don't do right, you're going to have to write the Ten Commandments 500 times. But I don't want that, God. I don't want that. You made him your stick because you were not able to be a strong parent. So you put God out there as the heavy. Oh, you keep it up, God's going to get you. No, you get him. Let God be the good guy. And you train them. And so we did. And that is the premise that upon which I grew my church. You have the greatest God in you. Why are you expecting to fail? Why are you expecting it to not work? Why is it that it's in your heart that it cannot be? If he's in there, it's just a matter of you getting it from what? Here to there. And the Bible says you do that by building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, reading the Word of God. You want your life to change? No Proverbs, because God is wisdom. God talks his word, because that's his language. That's not his imposition on you. That's not what he's compelling you to do to make him happy. You don't learn the scriptures to make God happy. God's happy, whatever. He got enough happiness for you and 55 million generations. One thing God's not running out of is happiness. God's got a lot of things to make him happy. He's teaching you how they do power. He's teaching you how they move his creation. He wants you to understand that is what he means when he says, as he is, so are we in this world. God wants you to do this world exactly the way he does his. Exactly. And his first thought is not collapse. Neither his second, third, fourth, or fifth. So God and I were having a fight this morning. I love it. It's really good. I mean, he wins, but it's really good to at least get your say out there. I mean, he's going to kill it, but hey, glory to Jesus, we'll get it out there anyhow. And so we were having a little tug of war this morning about something I wanted to do and something he said no. And so, you know, I said, well, I just don't understand, you know, the problem. I just don't understand it. Didn't have my wisdom chapter open yet. But I said, I don't understand why I can't do this. I don't understand the problem. And we went on for about, you know, from early this morning. And I just don't see the problem, God. I mean, because it's just harmless. It's, you know, it's helpful. I'm trying to sell him on the idea. How many of y'all like to try to sell God on a bad idea? You know, not like trying to sell the Lord on a bad idea. You know, and of course, he doesn't know it's a bad idea because, well, he's not the Almighty, right? He's just dad. So I'm trying to sell him on this really bad idea. And so finally, he just got irritated with me and he just snapped at me. He said, look, I expect you to do your life as I do it. You live in my kingdom. I put you in my kingdom. You're going to live life according to how we live it, which means you're going to learn to do things the way we do it in our world. That is why you're there. You're not going to do it according to the ways of man. You're going to do it according to my ways. As I live, you'll live. As I do, you'll do. As I think, you'll do. By this time, I'm shutting up. I don't have another word. And, of course, he didn't care because I mean, I done got him riled up now. He's going to finish that thought, you know. Man, I've been shaking for 15 minutes. And when he finished, I said, you are absolutely right. And I thanked him. First of all, I thanked him for letting me just go ahead on. And he just strung me along, you know, just. He just strung me on along. I'm thinking I'm making points in the argument and stuff. I appreciated him for that. God is looking for partners. Co-laborers mean partners. Co-laborers means collaborators. God is looking for partners. He's looking for collaborators. He's looking for people that'll let him show off in this world. God is glorified when your life brings him praise. And a lot of times we think that praise is people patting us on the back. No, when people wake up and see, I know something is unusual about you. I know you couldn't have done that. I know that no human being could have gotten that done. When you start hearing that, then God is getting praise. It's not enough that you feel good about what you're doing. It's a matter of whether or not God gets the accompanying offering from it. See, when God gets converts from your power, from your strength, from your victory, then you have done what he wants. Then he's gotten glory. When you study the word glory in the Bible, the word glory we think is just bright lights and greasy oil. We think the glory of God is shaking and trembling and falling out under the power of God and all of that. That's not glory. Glory is increased weight, clout, and authority. When you step up to the plate and you do what God made you to do and you manifest the Godhead in you, you increase God's glory, which means he gets greater weight, he gets greater clout, he gets greater dominion and greater authority. The reason that we cannot get laws that are godly because the godly people are not getting God's glory. See, because we are not using that everlasting wisdom to answer society's questions and issues. So they've taken their answers from other gods. So the other gods are getting the glory. The other gods are getting the clout. They're getting the weight. They're swaying the nation. Somebody got to hear what I'm trying to tell you. You, as the body of Christ on the earth in this here hour, you sold God's glory to another. And your need to be emotional and psychological and issues based and pitiful and you know, all of the things that don't work. Every time you tell God, I don't want to do this because it's too hard, you've decided to give his glory to another God. You decide, I'm too afraid, I'm sorry, I'm too old, I'm too this, I'm too that. Anytime you are too much to do what the power of Christ is in you to do. And the Lord said, my glory I will not give to another, but guess what? You all are giving it to others. God, this is just too hard. God, this cannot be Christianity. This is not churchianity. And you need to know the difference between Christianity and churchianity. Because there are a lot of doctrines coming up out the church that have nothing to do with God. Many of the foundations that you all are feasting on that are subtly still working in your psyche had nothing to do with God. It had to do with people who chose to not make a big deal out of Christ. It doesn't take all of that. We know that story, don't you? Hallelujah. When people, you talk about people coming to Christ, I mean, before they come to Christ, they're proud of themselves that they can run, you know, 5 miles one way, 5 miles back. They're so excited that they can stay up to 2-3 o'clock in the morning and go to work and still turn out a good day for the job that they are. They're excited about how they went to college and they burnt the midnight oil. They're excited about how they traveled all night on a flight to go overseas and then stood up and did a 3-day seminar, spun around, got back on the flight again. They're excited about doing all of that for other things. And then God says, well, now I want you to do it for me. That ain't God. Because the God I serve. Yeah, that's the one we're talking about. See, that is the one we're discussing right now. That God on the table. So you and so we start telling you, well, we need you to come to meeting at 8:30 on Sunday morning. Now you are proud of yourself working 7 days a week, 16 hours a day. You were proud of yourself. Couldn't brag enough about it. I mean, honey, anybody walk by? Yeah, girl, I'm on my 45th cup of coffee. I ain't slept in 3 days. Proud of yourself. Can't even get the words out. Coffee. Blinking. Coffee. I can go 6 more hours. Proud of yourself. Trying to do sports at work, out there in the sun, running, blazing, going to do the softball, going to do your favorite game. You're proud of yourself. You can endure to the end. You got endurance until it comes to Jesus. Is that not the truth? You come to God and all you do is whine. You didn't even know you were such a whiner till you got saved. You whine about everything. Chair hurt. My back hurts. My head hurts. I only got 6 hours sleep last night. Baby, when I get 6 hours sleep, I can run for 28. 6 hours sleep, man, is like, you know, a high-powered car for me.
Hi, this is Prophet Ashley. Luke 6 tells us to give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. Because you've been blessed by today's message, go to www.drpaulaprice.com and click on Sow a Seed. And now for the continuation of today's message.
We give you an assignment. You are proud of yourself in the world that you can do a four-hour job in 1.3 hours. Proud of yourself. We give you a job. We got to wait 3 years. Holding up the kingdom for 3 years while you try to decide whether or not you're going to do it. And they talk about this church ain't going nowhere. How about you ain't did what you had to do for us to go? You holding back the gas and the petrol. Do you realize how many times we have been held up because you felt like what we asked was way too much? And then get up in a testimony talking about, yeah, because I was in school. I had 10 papers to do all at one time. And I got an A on all of my things still sitting in the trunk of your car. Because you think when you have to press for God, it's too much. That is how sophisticated Satan's maneuver of your soul has been. He has programmed your soul to despise anything that's going to make God get glory, because he's a smart player and he's playing for the glory. And you're playing for an exit. And then when it gets real bad, you can tell when it gets real bad, because here's what you do. You know, the Lord is moving me on. You're always moving on when you're not going to give God what he wants. You're just moving out. Yeah, the Lord is moving me on. And you heard that correctly. Now, you didn't hear any of the other things correctly. But all of a sudden, you got a clear channel to the Holy Ghost. Okay? All of the scrambles gone. Clear channel. I hear God clearer than I ever heard him. All right? And you leave with a to-do list in that church, yay long. And then you want to go to the next church and say, I did this, this, and this, and this in my last church. I like to bring my gift to you. And so you come over, and the poor little bedraggled pastor in the new church kind of say, praise the Lord. The Lord heard my prayer. I got help. And then the cycle begins again. And you repeat it over and over while you praise God for the promotions you get on your jobs and the new business you start and all of those other things. We were in a position, we were in a church situation recently, show you how the saints could care two hoots about God. And we were in a situation recently where a pastor held a whole event, not one of his leaders showed up. Not one of his leaders showed up. Not only did they not show up, but they kept the others from showing up. It was real biblical. You lawyers, you won't enter in, and you're keeping those who try to enter in out. And so they didn't show up. And so, you know me, being the mouth I am, I spoke to it. And I said this. I said, but you wouldn't do that to your own jobs. And that's when you do things like that, that's when everybody knows who your God is. You would not, there are things that you push on preachers, you push on pastors, you would not do in your own job. Your boss could tell you to come in after 17 hours of work and tell you come in because you're needed, and you'll say, I'm sorry, I can't. And they say, well, okay, don't worry about it. 3 months later, oh, we're making cutbacks. We got cut staff. And guess who's on the cutting board? You will tell your pastor on the leadership team, I'm not coming. Or tell your pastor, we equals. You don't tell your boss you equal. I could see you running up to that senior executive and saying, hey, listen, we the same. You know better than me. And they will look at you real sweet. Oh, really? That's interesting. And walk away. And your life is like Haman when he fell on Esther. The axe goes out on you. They never say a word. But you'll come into church and you'll tell us where to go, tell us how to get there, tell us what you think, tell us that you think we don't know enough, we haven't learned enough. All you know is your little company. You can't even go from company A to company B doing it the same way. Because company B is like, I don't care what company A did. But in a church, you think it's a lateral move. Well, you know, I was in upper leadership in my other church. Well, you're going to start at the ground floor here. Because, see, I don't know that other church. I don't know what they trained. I don't know how they did what they did. I don't even know if they share my vision. But I do know that if you were here for my good, you would not want to get into something you haven't investigated until you thoroughly know me. Because you go into another company, you're like, we got to go through training. Do you know we got to go through 6 months of training before we even permanent? I mean, you got to worry about your job for 6 months and you happy. Don't make it permanent for 6 months. You got to hit the clock. You've got to work long hours. You've got to do amazing work. You got to be better than the best of the best because you know you got to make the cut. And you're telling everybody, I'm sorry, I got to be there early in the morning. I'm sorry, I don't know what to tell you. I got it because, you know, I got to keep this job. Come to God talking about, you know, I work today. Now, you in training for your other job, and they say, okay, we're going to go home, have a dinner break. We're going to meet at 9 o'clock. And then we're going to all do our homework at 9 p.m. Just want to put the p.m. in it because y'all might have got the wrong M. They want you to get the wrong M. You're going to meet at 9 p.m. No, I want you to understand because, see, the mighty ones have a mighty attitude. It takes mighty people to fulfill a mighty vision. And it takes people with the consciousness of the power of the Almighty and a commitment to its manifestation in them. Living up to the God in you. See, that's what I want us to get out of this today. Living up to the God in you. Not doing the best you can, but doing the best he is. Is this speaking to anybody? So you come back at 9 p.m. You have dinner. You know, kind of fool around a little bit in the lobby, talk to friends, and you meet at 9 o'clock. And you know, when you sit down, there ain't nobody leaving at 2 a.m. You know that. And you know what? You're proud of it. You're so proud of it. Aren't you? You're thrilled. You want to brag about it. You can't wait to tell everybody how little sleep you had. You want to brag about how little sleep you had. Don't you? You want to brag about how you all, and talk about fighting, not getting mad. They hurt your feelings, cuss you out, everything. But you go mount back the next day to the next session. We turn around and tell you something you don't like, and God telling you to move on. Thin skin for God and thick skin for man. Feelings get hurt at the drop of a hat. You hurt my feelings. Because it's not about giving him his glory. It's not about giving God clout. It's not about giving God more leverage. It's not about giving God more dominion and influence in the world. It's about keeping him in his place with mediocre ministers, inept servants, indifferent members, indifferent hostile boards. We want that for God. And then we want to tell him, but we love you, Lord. Now, here's I think it's a paradox because my confusion is this. Why do you want to spend eternity with somebody you so dislike? Whose way of doing things you have such despite for? Who's deluded in this deal? You're filled with all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You're filled with all the fullness of the omnipotent, eternal God. And your head hurt at the drop of a hat. Your back hurt. Knees won't work. You will have fervent prayer for God to do for you and will not pray for him to give you the grace to do for him. You'll stay up all night long. Lord, please hear my hallelujah. Please, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, I'm your child. It's me standing in the need of prayer. I'm your child, Lord. And your word says, and you said in your word, and then you said, and God, the other word, and in the John Thomas, you see, and God, so God, you got to do this for me. Aren't we glad that he doesn't say, you haven't done much for me lately? We go there with like zero leverage and a prayer list this long. Do for me, give me, please, make it happen. Help me, Lord, take me, Lord, lift me, Lord, mold me, shape me, make me, Lord, don't make me, God. And yet you get so proud to tell people, you know, I got to be to work at 4 a.m. Proud to tell people you got to be to work at 4 a.m. Won't get up for 6:30 prayer. Proud. You tell God, I'm sorry, it's ridiculous. I should not have to work all these hours at night, et cetera, et cetera. And then guess what? Then God will put you to work 7 days. Why? To prove to you that that was not the problem. The problem is doing it for him. You dig deep to do the impossible for everybody but the Lord Jesus Christ. You dig into your soul, find stuff you didn't even know you had. And you walk around and say, I don't even know where that strength came from. It just suddenly came over me. I mean, you find all of these amazing feats. Every one of you all have an amazing, at least one, I would dare say 10 amazing feats that you did not for Jesus. And giving God praise, and the Lord was with me. God asked you to do something. I'm sorry, I got a life. You had that before, remember? Matter of fact, you were asking him to help you with that before. Remember all them? See, you had that before. You didn't just get a life this morning. Act like you just woke up this morning and said, ooh, I got life. We're the congregation of the mighty. The reason we're the congregation of the mighty is because we're going to give glory to the God that's in us. My job is to make powerful people. That is my call. Powerful people, powerful congregations, powerful ministers. That's my call. You all are great because I would not let you be less than. You'll only be great as the leader you have. You will never be greater than your leader, just like a disciple will never be above their teacher. Not a real teacher. And see, a lot of times we have to realize whether when your disciple seems to be above your teacher, you realize that they haven't met their teacher, they had a tutor. See, you can outdo your tutor all day long. But if your teacher is really your teacher, you'll never beat them. Because most time they forget to tell you half of what they learn. You need to be the greatest of the great. I will not have a congregation where people think mediocrity is an achievement. I won't. I think that if we're going to serve the super God, we ought to be the super kids. The congregation of the mighty. We ought to be what people need to see and learn about Jesus Christ. When they ask questions about Jesus, they need to look at you. Jesus modeled the Father. He didn't model Judaism. They like to think he did, but he didn't. That's why they killed him. Because he wouldn't model Judaism. He didn't model the rabbinical priesthood, the Sanhedrin. He did not reflect the Talmudic institution. Jesus modeled the Father. Jesus modeled the world to come. Yeshua HaMashiach did not come modeling the past. And he didn't come modeling the present. As any good trainer and educator, he modeled the future. Just because you don't know it's the future doesn't mean that it isn't the future. He modeled the future. What did he model? The Bible said over and over again, he said in the age to come, the age to come, the world to come, the kingdom to come, to come, to come, to come. He never was stuck in time. He was always ahead of time. See, I don't know if you got this. I need you to understand. I am not training you for the old time religion. We're not going to get the good old day gospel. Thank the Lord. I didn't learn that. Aren't we? You're not going to learn how to do church like they did in the primitive era. First of all, you don't want primitive church. And if you read the Revelation, and if you read the rewards of every church, the church with the most power was the church of Laodicea. Their rewards were the most powerful of all seven rewards. Why? Because every time we got closer to how eternity did it, God can trust you with more power. When you get close to doing anything as God will do it, the power comes. The power releases. Hebrews said, we are about the powers of the world to come, the age to come. And here's what I want you to get. Jesus, in coming to earth, went back in time. See, eternity is past the speed of all those planets. They say a star could take decades, a millennia, to let us know that it died. We keep trying to do Christianity the way they did it in the old days, which is further back in time. Jesus literally had to come back in time. He broke the time-space continuum to get here. To do what? To take us where they've been. And when he went home, that's what he did. He did go back home to the future. Father, glorify me with the glory that I had with you before the world was. So every time you're trying to hear somebody say, we just want to go back to how the early church did it, you're literally saying, I want to go further back in time. Because when Jesus came to planet, light was already in existence. Motility was already in existence. Ezekiel saw the living creatures rolling around with the wheel in the wheel. We had that. Elijah goes out of here on a spaceship that looks like a chariot, so they ain't scared. Jesus came back in time to get a world that fell so far from Creator that it went back in time. It went to his past. It fell into his past. That's why we're dark. See, we fell back into God's past when God was pulling things forward for himself. So all of his technologies, we were ejected from. All of his advancement. Because God started, everybody act like God came into being with this perfect world. No, he didn't. He worked it, which is why we came down at the end of the last of his creation. God has infinite creations before us. Hebrews 11, through whom he made the worlds. So you can be mighty when you know your destiny and your history. So then Jesus, come on, listen, look at how this thing goes. So he rises from the dead, and he shows up the future man. No blood, no mortality. See, because the life of all flesh is in the blood. So he gave his life for the earth. So he left his blood on the earth. So he comes back, the future man. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither can corruption put on, all right, or mortality. The reason the man came to earth was to create the future man. Because he said, Dad, we ain't never getting him back. I'm telling you, Dad, it's looking bleak. Which is why there has to be a new earth. It has to be a bloodless earth. It cannot be organic. Because it will rot and die. The new earth is without death. Because remember, we always talked about, what do we talk about? The reason that God guarantees we'll all keep dying is because we got to keep eating from a dead earth. They think the new earth thing is about morality. Nope, it's about mortality. You need to understand why you want to live different. You need to understand why you want to think different. You want to understand why this mind in you should be the same as in Jesus Christ. What mind did he have? He had the mind of the future, of a deathless, timeless, totally illuminated existence. And every year, in every generation of Christianity, is to bring another batch of us into that vision. See, God has a vision. And this ain't it. Aren't we glad that this ain't it? Because if this is our hope, we in trouble. Paul said, we like above all men most pitiable. The reason you can't back Christianity is because you don't know it. You know church. So you know your church rules. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Know how to be good church people, but you can't be power folks for the king. Don't ever think that just because God wrote the Bible in old days that God was there. That was a piece of God's history that he brought into our time. You know he bad. You know he's a bad man. I tell you, he's a bad man. That is why if you're a real pastor and you're a real leader, you do not want to keep your people impotent. And that is why when you're under apostleship, we're always pushing you toward the future to become the future you. Day by day, shedding the old. Day by day, shedding the death. Day by day, shedding the ignorance. Shedding the weakness every day to become the future you. Because, see, the future you didn't fall in sin. It was kept in Christ for salvation. Welcome to the congregation of the mighty. You want to know us? Just read Hebrews 12, 24 through 29. You'll find us. For we are the congregation of the mighty. And we live in God's presence and not man's past. Because that's what carnality is, living in humanity's past before Jesus Christ spoiled principalities and fought powers, before he made a show of them openly. You know he's a sugar pie God. He's a yum-yum. You got to love him up. See, that's the gospel that Paul preached. That's the gospel that Jesus showed to the 12. The reason God knows what's going to happen to you in the end is because he knows the end of himself. He knows the end of himself. He has to know the end of himself or he can't promise you a future. Because if his future dies out before you get to yours, we got a problem. God's future can't die out. Otherwise, there's no hope for you. See, God's destiny is your future. It's your hope. If God doesn't make it, you don't. If God can be taken out, you are lost. And if Jesus is not God, you are, like everybody else, marking time to return to the dust of the earth. Hence, the difference between the God of your faith in Islam and Buddhism and Taoism and Shintoism and Confucianism and any other ism, the difference is they all tell you they're from the past, but the Bible tells us Jesus is from the future. That is why to serve those gods, you have to go back in time. You have to go back to your immoral self. You have to go back to your mortal self. You have to go back to your vulgar self. You have to go back to your destructive self because all of their rituals are based on Satan's fall. When God locked him out of the future. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus.
Thank you for attending today's Sunday sermon with Dr. Paula Price. Don't forget to participate in Dr. Price's live weekly interactive radio talk show right here on Blog Talk Radio every Thursday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Central Standard Time. Again, that is www.blogtalkradio.com/Paula Price Show.